Good morning. And this morning my guest is Laura Toop, and we're talking about the power of the pause, that's P-A-U-S-E, not P-A-W-S, and reflect, recharge, and reignite. So, she'd put down on this piece of paper I've got in front of me, a quote from Lao Tzu, "Silence is a source of great strength." Right, over to you.
Good morning, John. How are you?
Yes, we're doing well.
The sun is shining, so hey, that's a moment to pause on to start it. So, yeah, you know, hey, there we go. It might be raining later on, but at the moment, the sun is shining and all is good in the world. I think, you know, pausing. We don't do it very often in this unstoppable, uncontrollable world that we find ourselves in. You know, we consider a pause to be scrolling through our phones to check social media or rushing to get the bus or to the next place. But actually, the thing is even in micro moments of pause, like me taking a moment to pause about the sunshine, actually we just refocus and ground ourselves in that minute. And that can give us improved clarity, improved focus, make us more, less stressed in the moment, because it's just stopping the world for just, you know, a few minutes. I'm not telling you to pause forever.
Yeah, that taking a breath, sometimes that's quite difficult, isn't it? Because our minds are racing. So what practical things can we actually tell ourselves?
And I think that's the thing is you. So, you know, I talk about Claudia Hammond's work around the art of rest. And she, in her book, which, you know, is based on research, 18,000 people over 135 countries around the world, and she asked them about rest. And what they did. And so if you struggle with it, you're not alone. So that is, you know, to say number one, you know, almost 80% of us struggle in some way, shape or form, whether it's because of guilt or whether we don't have enough time to take a pause. So, but how do we take that? And what she talks about is some research that I think came from South Korea that says even in taking minute, you know, daydreams to look out the window, our productivity an hour later has improved by 20-30+% because we've just taken a moment to switch our brain on. And, you know, how easy is that to do? You know, I could just sit and look out the window now and just let my brain float for a pause.
So the difference between that and other forms of meditation is you're not letting your mind go blank, you're just changing direction.
Exactly. And I think it's just that's the thing, is it's just interrupting a flow that's happening with something different that gets you just to refocus. I mean, I'll be the first person to tell you, when somebody says go and do a meditation, I'll sit there go, in a month of Sundays, that's not going to happen. You know, because I'll just sit there and go, well, all that's going to do is draw all of my thoughts and my crazy brain to go like at a million miles an hour. But I can do a form of meditation when I go swimming. Mm-hmm. And what may surprise you is I listen to music. Hardcore dance music, to be precise, which I am told there is something in the rhythm about that. So there is some science behind that
as
well.
It's not called trance for nothing.
No, absolutely. Well, this is a very good point, John. But what that is doing is changing my direction of flow, as you say. It is also just setting a pace, and it's allowing me to pause. So I think when our natural place that we go to when somebody says pause is that we're actually stopping. And you know, I was reading the other day that the word pause actually comes from the word from the German, or the word rest comes from German, which, and the word rasters, and it actually means to support oneself. And so if you think of pausing in a slightly different way, in the fact that actually in my swimming, in my listening to music, I'm just supporting my brain to take a moment's rest from the normal chatter. And when I see it like that, I've kind of got a slightly different perspective to the word pause and to rest. It's not because I'm not doing not doing anything, if that's work, but actually just changing that direction of flow to help me improve what it is that I am actually trying to achieve and have greater focus, greater energy to kind of see things that I wouldn't otherwise see because I've just interrupted that flow. And it's really interesting. But again, it's that whole thing of there's a huge badge of honour that goes with, well, I pushed on through, I did more and I was successful.
Right. Well, we're going to come back to that. We're going up to the break with Creedence Clearwater Revival and from Ariana Grande. Normally it's Yes But, and that's me. Okay, you're listening to West Kent Today here on West Kent Radio. With me this morning is Laura Toop, and we're looking at the power of the pause. Reflect, recharge, reignite. And we're looking, the quote we've got is, silence is a source of great strength. And we've been exploring that. But Laura's got some stories to illustrate that for us.
A very sweeping statement.
Oh, definitely.
I was just as you were re-saying that quote again, though, John, I was just thinking, it's really, really interesting because it says it's, silence is a great source of strength. It says silence as opposed to stopping. And I, you know, you and I were just chatting about the fact that so often we say pause equals stop, you know, and people say, oh, I don't know how to start again. And that's definitely something I've thrown out a few surveys over the last month asking people, you know, what are the barriers to them pausing or taking a rest? And, you know, after the, you know, I've got important stuff to do, I'm feel guilty, you know, the badge of honour idea that, you know, I've got to keep going, or I haven't got time and I'll do it at the end of my to-do list. Actually, what comes out is, okay, this sort of constantly on the go, but actually we can create silence, excuse me, to gain strength, as we were saying before the break, around just thinking and taking proactive choices about what we do. And I was referencing how I swim to get a moment's silence. And, you know, I was talking to some people about, you know, different ways, like doodling. And people go, no, doodling? Even in a meeting? And I said, and then they started to think about it and go, actually, no wonder, you know, my notebooks get so filled with doodles. But actually, I'm really intently listening to what's going on. I've actually stopped all the noise going on about all the other things that are on my to-do list. I'm actually focusing far greater on what's going on. And then it kind of sort of played out that people had, you know, doing jigsaws and how much that, you know, allowed them to silence or to support their mind, to focus, to get greater clarity on where they are and to get a sort of this renewed sense of vigor, joie de vivre, whatever you want to call it. I quoted you a figure about the fact that, you know, it's said that we've actually got more time than we did in the 1950s. Because technology has facilitated that. However, on the flip side, facilitated this sort of increased busyness because there's always something going on. And so it's, you know, it's taking a proactive choice to say, no, I'm not going to touch my phone. I'm not going to scroll down. And so people were sharing with me this idea that rather than, for example, first thing in the morning reaching for their phone, they reach for a notepad and just write the first thing that comes into their head in their diary. You know, it's not necessarily about the day. It's not necessarily about gratitude or what you're going to do that day. It is just literally what is on your mind in that moment written down, and call it a dose of joy for a day.
You mentioned a to-do list. In my previous existence, I always got to the end of the day and there were still things I hadn't done.
Yes.
Now my life is somewhat different. I don't make a long to-do list.
No.
So, and if you're doing a to-do list, after every third item, just put in pause.
I love that. No, I, and actually, there's something in the threes, and I am told, well, I seem to recall reading that there's research that says we should do no more than one big thing and two smaller things planned in a day, because we, and so back to the power of three, so one big thing and two small things, because we are not very good at predicting those unpredictable calls that, you know, something happened that we did. And so we, by having a very long to-do list, we're almost setting ourselves up to fail,
yes,
almost. And I think the other part for me is invariably the way that we focus on a to-do list is it's the thing that worries and presses and, you know, concerns us the most will probably sit at relatively near to the top of the list. And the stuff that, you know, might be important but less pressing comes further down the list. And we never get to that bit. And we certainly don't get to the bit that says, look after oneself. You know,
definitely.
That comes at the end of a very long to-do list.
And then we go try to go to sleep at night and our minds racing because of the things we haven't done, which is added to the following day's list.
Totally.
Right. Shall we have a break?
We will.
And when we come back, it's going to be a short, it's going to be a short track, and then just a couple of stories before we go into a long break. Okay, we've got Don't Go from Yazoo. So don't go, Laura.
Stay I won't.
Don't Go. You're listening to West Kent Today on West Kent Radio with Ms. Laura Toop, and we've been talking about the power of the pause, reflect, recharge, reignite. And while that was playing, we were just having a little bit of chat, and we came up with a new term, didn't we?
Pacing.
Pacing, yes. Pacing ourselves so that we don't get overwhelmed.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, people fear pausing, stopping, because they fear they won't get started again and they'll never get their list done, they'll never get to the other side. Well, you know, I hate to break this to you, but you'll never get through the to-do list. Once you've cleared something, something else will come in. So therefore it is about pacing yourself and really knowing in any one moment what matters most to me, to what I need for me right now. And I think, you know, for me personally, you know, and I was sharing this with you, you know, I talk often about life mark one versus life mark two. Life mark one, I think I hadn't realized I was operating, my standard was at 120%, but I didn't know that that was 120%. I was just doing so much. I was just so busy doing. And until I wasn't busy doing. And then I had no choice but to take a very extensive pause. And because my body just said, the computer, my body, just says, no, it's not going to do anymore. But I recognise what I could have done differently and now do differently, and that is pacing. You know, I do take moments of pause in the way that, you know, we've been talking about, where it is, you know, I'll take a photograph of some cherry blossom that I've seen, or, you know, a particular thing that's just caught my eye, and that just allows a moment of pause, those sort of micro pauses, where they're not, you know, huge stopping. But that's helping me regulate my pace. I then now have far greater clarity over what I am doing and what it is adding to me and why it matters to me. The things that I feel I have achieved. I mean, I wouldn't be sitting here talking to you now had it not been for me pacing myself and really identifying what matters most to me in this moment. And that's the level of clarity and, you know, focus that means that things are far more likely to come off that you want, that really feed your inner sense of self. And, you know, for me, I know that I feel far more successful now than I did in Life Mark One, courtesy of pacing myself.
Okay. I've got a couple of questions I want to ask you when we come back after the break. But to take us up to that break, here's Simply Red, and Ain't That a Lot of Love? Not necessarily stopping, but just taking a moment. Yeah. And we were talking about to-do lists and not overdoing it. And Laura, you talked about your self Mark One, how that was like, and self Mark Two. And as you were talking, I said to myself and then to you that this taking a pause and not trying to do too much can avoid depression, which can be caused by guilt. And you then added it can also help avoid loneliness. So let's expand on those two points.
Yeah, I think it's, for me, it is this thing of, you know, we can be so busy in the pursuit of something that we can forget to notice and balance out with, you know, I said in before the break, doses of joy and those moments where we do, you know, take a photograph of some cherry blossom or notice the sunshine. That's all, if we're so focused about the problem or so focused on the goal, where's the joy in all of that, you know? And particularly when life isn't necessarily going to plan or it's incredibly unpredictable and uncertain. Unfortunately, the problem is quite a large part of life. And if you only focus on the problem, there's a great phrase that says, what you focus on grows. So that's the same whether it's good, happy sunshine or less good grey clouds. You know, if you focus on it, it's going to grow. So how do you balance that out? Well, you balance it out by putting these little moments of joy, these photographs of cherry blossoms, to balance that out so that actually you are feeling slightly more balanced than rather drawn into the problem. And with respect to the loneliness bit for me, you know I'm on my own. So therefore, for me, it's a connection thing. It is I'm connecting in that moment. I'm stopping myself. I'm connecting with something very real that is not constantly moving, that it is not constantly busy. And that just allows me to feel like, no, I'm here. I'm part of this world connected to other things. And I, you know, for me, that is so important. It's too easy to get lost in, you know, the speed of life, the uncertainty, the unpredictability, and not be able to see ourselves bigger than what is going on. And that for me is the importance of pacing, not necessarily pausing, but those micro moments. You sound like you're going to challenge me with another question.
No, let's talk about practical tip. Just one tip that people can take up.
One tip. So, start the day with, as I said, just literally write something down. Doesn't matter what it is, just write it down. Don't pick your phone up first. Go straight to writing something. If that's too hard to do when you're out, grab your phone. If you have one that takes photos, just take a photograph of something. I'd love to see them. Just take a photo of something that captures your eye. I mean, it could be anything. It could be a park bench that you see, you know, has got some unwanted markings on it, shall we say.
A bit of graffiti.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you said it, not me. Maybe it's the blossom. Maybe it's some blue sky. Just little something that just goes, okay, I'm connecting with the world. I'm not connecting with an ever-evolving to-do list. For me, it's just those moments. And don't be afraid to just daydream. You know, what is a minute to lose to staring out the window
I got told off that at school.
I know, and interestingly enough, that's exactly what Claudia Hammond said. It's ironic to think that, you know, that was the thing that we got told off for at school, was staring out the window and stop daydreaming, pay attention in the classroom. I certainly know that was written on my school report on more than one occasion. That what ultimately it does is it just recaptures the mind. And if you can step away from the desk or what you're actually doing in that moment and do something entirely different and not something work-like per se, so no scrolling through the phone, i.e., and just do something completely, utterly different, impact the next hour is huge. Yeah.
Now, you said you got starting this new way of people contacting you on Wednesday evenings?
Yes. So over the last sort of 3 months, I've been doing some lives which have been onto Facebook and onto LinkedIn. And, you know, I've called them monthly me moments. Well, as of April the 3rd, I am converting that to, which is a Wednesday, to your point, at 6:30. I am doing a me moment cafe, and really it is going to be setting the scene, and this month's theme, unsurprisingly, is how to pause in the real world and have calm and control.
Right, so people can log into that.
So if people want to send me a DM on either Facebook or LinkedIn or via my website, I can send them the link to be able to register for the event. It's a, you know, it's a Zoom event.
Right. So we'll have that information up on our website a little bit later on today. And if you've missed any of this interview, then we'll replay it for the next couple of weeks.
Fabulous.
So we'll have a lovely picture of Laura up on the website as well. And join again next month.
I will be.
Yeah, and we're developing this theme as we go along, aren't we?
We are. It's all about Project Me, in the fact that, you know, we can take proactive choices to take control in an uncontrollable world and flourish.
Right, we're going to have some music.